The following business discussion is brought to you by Trudon, the publisher of the Yellow Pages and proud supporter of small business in South Africa.
Hello.
Hi, Dave from A1 Builders in Pretoria.
Yeah.
It's Dan. I found your number on the internet and I need you to build me a room, the purpose of which I cannot disclose.
What?
Fine. It's a sunroom. Can you start immediately?
It's 4 a.m.
I'm sure it's 4 a.m. somewhere, Dave, but here in SA, it's 10.
You mean USA?
There's more than one Pretoria out there. For the quickest and most efficient way to find what you're looking for, start your search with yellowpages.co.za or download the app. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.
This is Adrian Groenewald on Leadership Platform. We're going to talk about small, medium business leadership and just an event on the 11th of April. You can follow it on hashtag Africa Rise, one word, Africa Rise. It's where a bunch of entrepreneurs are going to talk about opportunities in Africa and how entrepreneurs can seize them. So, people like Tamir Murat is going to be there, Teboho Dicheho, Owen Kormu. These are serial entrepreneurs. And they'll be talking to you about entrepreneurialism, building your small, medium business. And that's what we're about. Last week, we spoke about how to raise startup funding. Do download that podcast. And today, startup cash flow management. There are some principles there. This is a big challenge. With me in the studio, our expert, Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team. How are you, Richard?
Morning, Adrian. How are you doing?
No, good. So when you run your business, the finance team, I'm sure you never have any cash flow problems because you're the master of cash flow management.
Excuse me while I laugh ridiculously.
It's a challenge. It really is. So that's what we're going to discuss today. If you have a small business or you're starting one or you're trying to, move it to the next level, becoming a medium-sized business. Cash flow management is what, in fact, it kills most startups or many startups. There's a lot of cash flow surprises, things you may not be thinking of. You may be struggling to, your business looks like it's successful on paper, balance sheet, everything else, but you're just not able to use money. You just don't have cash available. What's going on? Overall, 90% of small business failures are caused by poor cash flow, according to Dun and Bradstreet. Why? So we're going to look at, just now we look at 10 principles to consider, but let's have a general conversation, Richard. Why? What are the traps people fall into?
Andre, I think it maybe starts with that key principle of people think that, various things are important in their business, but they forget that golden saying of, cash is king. Mm. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to reverence it at the expense of everything else. But if you don't understand your cash flow, you can have the best business model, you can have great suppliers, you can have a great team around you, but as a leader, you're going to fail because you're going to be unable to lead them through the cycle of cash. Cash cycles through a business. It starts off, you buy something that you're going to sell, you obviously then market it, some expenses that you have to pay along the way. And then once you've managed to sell it, now you normally have to sell it to somebody and they need to either pay you cash immediately or they're going to pay you cash over a period of time. You need to manage that component. And then finally, when all is said and done at the end of the cycle, you're taking that cash and you're then deciding where you're going to, let's call it, reinvest it back into that stock. What other expenses, there might be some strategic marketing you want to do. What other expenses you need to run in your business. And knowing where you put the cash at different times is quite critical. If you should be out there, if you've got a cycle, from a sales cycle perspective, let's use an example. You're in a business that provides, uniforms for schools. Going to your earlier theme. You don't want to be in a situation where you don't have adequate stock running into the start of a school year and possibly even school terms. So where you want to be spending your cash pre that period is to make sure that your suppliers have actually, you've procured from your suppliers, that deliveries are on time. I mean, we had a scenario this year, my daughters went to school and were struggling because they didn't have the clothes that were ordered in November last year. Mm. And you kind of go, well, supplier, how do you get that wrong? Mm. That's their business. They're in the business of providing a service to you. If you can't get the service from them, guess what? You'll go shopping elsewhere. You don't want to be in the business of, providing, you know, service or goods, and people can make the election to go somewhere else because your business isn't getting it together from a cash perspective. Having the right thing at the right time.
So in the simplest form, how would you define cash flow management? I mean, what is, or let me, cash flow management.
Yeah.
How would you define that in simple terms?
Okay, so you've got to understand all the inflows and outflows, and make sure that you understand when those are going to happen. So, you know, it's not just about the size of the inflows and outflows. So many people think, oh, well, how big is, you know, as long as your inflows are larger than your outflows, you're okay. But it's also the timing. I mean, I've witnessed scenarios where you're literally sitting on tender hooks waiting for a payment inbound on you from a customer so that you can make an outbound payment literally moments later. I mean, I often say the cash flow or the bank statement of a business sometimes looks a little like a heart rate monitor. It goes up and down in a microsecond, you know, as the money arrives and leaves shortly thereafter. And the problem is, if you get that the wrong way around, you've got a requirement where a payment's got to be outgoing before the inbound cash is on you, and you've got a problem. And generally, most bankers don't like you when you try and write checks that you can't cash.
Correct. All right. So let's go very basic. Well, why do leaders get this wrong? I mean, for example, a simple thing that's happening out there for small businesses certainly is they have big corporate clients.
Yeah.
Big challenge already.
Okay.
If you have a mom and pop store where people pay cash and your cash comes in, that's a little bit of a different ballgame. But if your client base are big corporates or government or state-owned enterprises, then you have to start thinking very clearly, because that to me is danger.
Yeah, that's always a danger area. I think one of the things that I've realized in my own business and working with other smaller businesses is that you should never just accept the, let's call it the norm in a corporate environment. I've had reason to engage with clients, and you say, look, we need, you know, payment on a 7-day type of account, and the client is more than happy to facilitate that with you. You then discover that other providers of similar type of services may be on a 30-day account. And I kind of sat back and said, well, if I can ask for 7 days and they were happy with my 7 days, why are these guys waiting 30 days for their money? And the answer was simply, I asked, I explained the rationale for why I needed to make sure that we had a 7-day account given the nature of the services we provide. And the person at the corporate that I was speaking to was reasonable. They then motivated it up the line. And you have to have somebody in that environment that hears your perspective. Particularly when you're a small business, like many of us are. You know, most guys that are in corporates, you know, they realize what they're dealing with. And the reason they're dealing with you as an SME is often because you give them that personalized service. They are able to pick up the phone and phone you at 10 o'clock at night if there's a problem. And they know that. And they know that with that relationship does come a quid pro quo. And that's often, okay, we're going to need to have a payment term slightly earlier, but, you know, there is this upside. I mean, reality, you know, if you're a normal corporate, you don't normally have the ability to make those crisis phone calls and get the service that you
okay.
want.
So, I mean, the first thing you want is you want to do business with big customers, and then you have to be aware of those elements. I was sitting with a big customer on Friday and discovered when I inquired about payment that they do have a policy, 7 to 14 days for small businesses, for larger businesses, 30. And I respected that. But so I feel like I can now push for our payments because of that. Then we have another customer that owes us a lot of money for the last 5 months. Big, well-known brand, five months. Don't care a hoot about a small business. So we have that too. So that's be careful, but also be aware of the fact that you can be a little bit more assertive.
One of the things is as well that, you know, let me use your example you've cited of a five-month overdue account. I hate to say this to you, but the reality is it's probably not their policy to push the payment that far in terms of normal course of business. But what happens is people get into the grind of, let's call it, process. So what happens is the first thing they do is they wait for you to send them a statement, for example. So the first time you phone and say, I haven't received money. It's now day 31. You said you would pay on a 30-day account. The first response of the admin people is, oh, send us a statement. Send us copies of invoices. Mm-hmm. Send us this. Send us that.
Correct.
Then they'll turn around and say, oh, okay, now that we've got all of that, we've got a query on this. Can you supply us with this or that? And then, you know, before you know it, you're 45 days, 60 days into this shindig. And, you know, now we're ready to put you into the payment process. But that's going to take us another 30 days. And you look at this and you say, well, hold on a second. Is this just corporate inefficiency that I'm witnessing here? Because the reality is they're actually paid to do a job that results in you getting your payment 30 days later. So my advice to business people is to say, if that sort of thing is the order of a day at a client, the best person you want to speak to is the financial managers and the CFOs of those entities. And you speak to them real quick, because often, I mean, I've had numerous examples. I can give you the brands and the names where often the problem, you know, you're told, we'll pay you next Friday. And I said, no, I actually need payment this Friday. When I inquired and explored a little further, I discovered that the person who had to push the button on the payment was on leave this week. So that's why I was getting payment
Simple,
next week Friday.
Ridiculous reasons. Okay, yeah. So those are practical things. And VAT, okay, I'm running a small business. I'm registered for VAT. Okay. I mean, this VAT bug is a problem, isn't it? Leaders, every time the VAT bill comes, it's a surprise. It's a, I don't want to pay it. But it's really not yours. But it seems to be a trap for the cash flow.
So if I can give just some solid pieces of advice to leadership. One, you're collecting VAT on behalf of the South African Revenue Services. Please remember, you're acting as an agent for SARS. That responsibility is onerous on you. If you do not make your payments to SARS timely, they will engage you from a penalty perspective, and they have every legal recourse to do that. And they get very, very, very agitated if they don't get their payments timely. My advice to business people is if you're collecting, or as we all charge VAT, make sure that if you're the type of business that has the want to look at that number and go, what should I do with this? Open yourself a second account somewhere, put the VAT money in that account, make it a money market account with your bank or something that bears interest, and put that money away on a weekly basis from your sales. It's not yours. Don't touch it. Don't play with it. Don't fiddle with it. Mm. I have seen more businesses run into legal issues and business challenges because of VAT than any other form of tax in this country.
That's amazing.
Yeah. The problem is it's such a large number generally, because remember it's on your revenue base, and
it's over 2 months.
It's over 2 months. You know, and you're effectively, it's a 2 month cycle, but you're paying effectively on month three. And if people look at this number, they just get astounded by the number, and they kind of think, well, do I have to pay this? The answer is, it's not even a question. It's not even a choice. It's not yours to start with. You know, it's not, I'm paying it. You're not paying it. Your customers actually paid the VAT. You're just collecting it on behalf of SARS.
Okay, before we go to those 10 principles that you sent me, anything else around cash flow traps that ordinary, simple, small business owners fall into when it comes to cash? Is it not also, it's my business, the minute you see this big $1 million that come into your account, you make all kinds of decisions that are just not wise, and then you blink. Yeah. And then you don't have cash.
Yeah. So I think my first kind of statement to people is always make sure that you know the difference between profits, cash, and what your obligations are and what cash is, you know, that inflow, outflow. Because having cash in the bank at a moment in time or at a point in time doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing well. People often look at bank account balances, and I've often heard people say, you know, employees will say, well, I looked at the bank, you know, or I saw the bank statement and the business is fine. So why are we restructuring and doing cost reductions? Well, they have no idea where that cash, I mean, they have no idea that there's a VAT payment due tomorrow that, you know, 90% of that cash is due for that.
Provisional tax.
Most people have no idea where the cash in the business is going to go. Doing daily cash flow forecasts is critical to the success of any small business. And, you know, people may balk at the idea of daily cash flow. I mean, in reality, we all know what cash is in our bank accounts personally, and we know what I expect expenses are projected to be over the month. Why is a business any different?
Yeah, probably more important. All right, you shared some principles that leaders need to, or leaders of small, medium businesses need to be aware of in order to manage their cash flow better. So let's walk through those. We've got 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay, so I think, you know, the first principle that I'd get to is write it down. Okay, so people often, you know, make this mistake of thinking they can keep it in their head. Oh, don't worry, I've got the cash flow. It's kind of in my mind. I've got it worked out. But there's so much happening in business. There's so much happening in your daily in your business activities daily. If you don't write down what's going to happen, at some point you are going to forget something. And unfortunately, human nature would have it that you will not forget about cash that's inbound on you. You will forget about cash that you have to pay.
Does not also depend on the sort of business you have. Is it very transaction intensive or not? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You might just have a business with 2, 3, 4 large contracts. So the cash flow cycle is much slower.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
It does. But I mean, once again, I'd say make sure you write down everything. Just put it on a piece of paper and put it in front of you. You know, you talk about people assimilating information. People do things, they listen to audio, they visualize or see things. Mm. The act of writing something down is a kinesthetic movement. You then read it and you can see it and interpret it and take it back in.
All right. Next one.
Often you have scenarios where people are what you would call being on budget, but they're still having cash flow problems. They say, okay, I projected that I would sell, you know, 100 units and I'm on budget, but I don't have cash. Yeah. And they kind of go, well, why is that? And the reason for that is just simply cash is leaving the business faster than you anticipated it in your plan. So you've got something wrong in the model. So, you know, your flow into you for your 100 units that you're on budget with might be, you know, tick that box. But somewhere along the line, you had to pay for the 100 units, you know, the cost of those 100 units that you sold or the services associated with it, and that cash has left earlier. I mean, classic one is you want to pay your employees on the 25th of a month, but you get payments from your suppliers on the 30th. Mm. So now who's funding that 5-day gap between when you're paying people for the work they've performed for you versus the receipts, often in the same month.
Yeah.
So you know, that's what I'm saying. So you hit the sales target for the month or the services target for the month.
Well done.
But well done, everybody. I just can't pay you.
Yeah.
Why? Because I got my timing wrong. So that's something important to remember.
Mm.
The other thing is linked to that is this whole principle of we're making profits, but we're still out of cash. Well, just because you sold the 100 units and you sold them at a GP percentage of 30 or 40% doesn't mean that translates into immediate cash in the bank. You still have to collect that cash and make sure that it's there. And often people make that mistake. We often say, you know, absolute euphoria over sales, but amnesia about collections. If you haven't collected it out, you haven't made the profit yet. You've actually got to physically see cash in bank before you move forward.
Okay. I'll say that again. You've got obsession with?
I always say obsession over revenues or sales and amnesia over collections. So it's easy to sell, but somebody's got to ask for the money.
And that's a difficult thing. I say you can't run a business if you can't ask. You've got to be able to ask for business, ask for your money, ask for. Okay. All right.
And an important leadership skill, talking about business leadership, is to know how to ask, when to ask, and who to ask.
Mm.
Because if you ask the wrong person, they can't help you. And if you ask them at an inappropriate time, you're probably not going to get the best result or the best outcome. You also, as a leader, you need to know who to ask in your organization to collect cash as well.
Mm.
Because if you ask the sales guy that has got to have an ongoing relationship with the client to go and make those hard phone calls, you're making his life very difficult. And the probability is that he will feel disengaged with you as an organization because you're making his life harder, not easier.
Good point. Okay, next tip.
The other thing that you've got to look at and remember is seasonality. You know, sales come and go. You're at the top end of the cycle in terms of timing, you know, summer, winter, different seasons, different events. that changes your cash flow cycle. So, you know, it's not, you know, here's the number of cash or the amount of sales we're going to have in the year divided by 12. It's got that seasonality. Guess what? Your cash is going to move with it. What happens when you've got a fixed expense base? Sales are coming down into that trough in the cycle. Have you got sufficient cash at that point? And you should be measuring that. And that's why I say, if you don't write this down, you know, great. So you can get the week's cash flow or the month's cash flow right. And I'll say, you know, very, very heavy going there, book to you. My question is, can you do this for the next 12 months? And can you project it forward for the next 3 months? You know, people should not be doing cash flow management in the week, in the month. You should be knowing where you are 3-4 months down the track. You know, businesses that run it on a week by week basis. Well, I tell you, that's the roller coaster of cash flow. You know, always ready for the next scream as you go around the corner. as a business leader, that level of stress just doesn't feature, in my opinion.
Yes.
You shouldn't have that going.
Good one.
Also, you know, we talk about the principle of planning for emergencies and planning for unforeseens. You need to do that not only in your personal life, but in your business. I mean, what happens if the competitor gets out there and gets into your biggest client and starts taking away some of your opportunities? What happens if, you know, you suddenly find yourself in a situation where you have to incur additional expenditure for whatever reason? I mean, let's use the current one. You've currently got load shedding happening. Mm. Guess what? The cost of electricity provided by that lovely diesel generator you've got going is far higher than the cost of the electricity bill that's coming out of Eskom.
But also because of the electricity going on and off surges, your computer system crashes. And then you lose
data, you lose actual physical hardware. You know, these emergencies, I mean, something as simple as you have your sprinkler system at the office pop and everything gets wet and you now have to go through the process of drying out your offices and all the rest. That can take a week out of your life. Mm. You know, are you insured for that? Yes, no. You know, these things are, there's a number of questions, but the reality is it's all going to take time, and time is money, and time and money become cash flow. You've got to make sure you plan for it and have something available.
Okay, next one.
Okay, the thing that you talked about getting payment. There's a flip side of getting payment as a small business, and that's the fact that when you're a new business, you don't easily get terms from your supplier. I mean, anybody can't just walk into a new supplier and say, "Hi, I'd like to buy something from you, and can I please pay you in 30 days?" The supplier will say to you, "Well, hold on a second. Let's see how you go purchasing from me for the next 6 months, paying cash. Let me get a bit of a track record on you. Let me understand what your business is about. I want to understand where your cash is going to be, and that I'm probably going to get paid." They're going to do that as a normal course of business. And by the way, you should be doing the same on your customers. So if you've got a customer that you don't know well, that isn't a big brand, etc., if you've got the small guy who's buying from you, put him through his paces as well. Don't just go, "Oh, well, I'm a small guy, you're a small guy. Okay, that's fine. Let me take some risk on you." Be prudent in how you grant credit, and expect others to grant you credit prudently as well.
Okay. Now, that's an interesting one. You're fighting hard to do things upward towards your suppliers, your customers, but sometimes it applies downward as well. Okay.
Yeah. Then the other thing that you need to be very aware of is sometimes, you know, you kind of go, "Oh, well, I need to spend on marketing to get my volumes to grow." But bear in mind that your sales volumes don't always track marketing expenses in a perfectly linear fashion. I mean, people often go, "Well, if I spend on advertising this month, next month's sales will be much better." Maybe not. Okay, and that's going to drain your cash. And marketing expenses, because of the nature of marketing, are high variable, and so you need to build in some space for fat there. You may have to spend, and it might take a few months before you see the benefit of that marketing spend on your sales numbers.
The correlation is not immediately there.
It's not an immediate correlation, and anybody in the marketing field will tell you that. I think often as small businesses, we forget that. Mm. And we think, "Hey, we've been doing well up until now. Let's make this happen." Then perhaps one of the other things that you want to know is that even good customers sometimes drop you and make that late payment. That corporate that just doesn't get it all together, and you expected the payment to happen on the 28th of the month or the 30th of the month, and sorry, it'll happen on the 1st or 2nd of the next month. Now, if you've planned this you know, let's talk about that proverbial VAT payment, and you've got your VAT payment due and you're relying on the corporate to bridge, you know, to bring in that last little bit of cash you needed, and suddenly they're going to be just 2 days late. That can be devastating for you as a business. So you need to make sure that you've got contingencies in place and you plan such that if somebody does drop you, you know, that customer that you don't expect, it's not the ordinary, but this is just contingency planning, that your cash flow can actually take a little bit of a hit and not fall apart. And that's quite hard to do, especially if you've got very big customers and those numbers are large. Then you have high risk on those payments. And then my advice to people is to actually make those phone calls before payments are due. Pick up the phone and say, "Hi, Susan. Just wanted to check, is everything on track for our payment Friday week? Just want to make sure you've got all the invoices you need. You've got your statements. Has everything reconciled? Has the approvals now been done?" Many companies nowadays, particularly large corporates, use workflow systems. So things move through the system and there's a workflow approval process. All you need is somebody to be sick or off on study leave or off at a course or whatever, and suddenly it gets jammed in this workflow system and everybody doesn't know, nobody knows it's there. And the only time it kind of becomes an issue is when you escalate it and say, "I didn't get my payment." And then they go back into the workflow and they say, "Ooh, sorry, you know, it's sitting on Peter's desk, but Peter's been off on sick leave for a week. Oh, we'll fix it." But you're still then waiting for your payment.
Some really good advice, Richard Angus, CEO of this finance team. I've got a bugbear when it comes to big corporates and small businesses doing. What should we as a society do when it comes to that? You know, the small business owner cannot fight the big guns because I would like more business from you.
Mm.
So I can't really be too aggressive when I take you on or put my lawyers onto you or anything like that. Or you're doing business with government and they pay 5, 6, 7 months later. You know, it really is killing small businesses out there. And do you think it's something we can lobby with the small business ministry? Are there things in the pipeline that you may be aware of that's more supportive towards small business?
I think, unfortunately, the small business owner unfortunately finds themselves pretty much alone on this score. I think, you know, for example, Small Business Ministry, if they could get government to take the approach like you mentioned earlier, a corporate that says, okay, 7 to 14 days for SME type businesses. If government was to take a policy decision to say, "We want to support small business," and maybe that's a good initiative we should perhaps pose to the ministries to say, you know, could you not look at saying anything or any business with a certain qualifying criteria up to a certain level, they get these special terms to support, you know, small business. Get behind, you know, the statements, "We support small business and job creation." Correct. And all the rest.
And if it doesn't happen, I must have a recourse. I must be able to go somewhere and say, "This is not happening."
Exactly. Mm. And then the flip side of that is to say, well, if you can get government to agree to it, then can you get, you know, Department of Trade and Industry to, for example, as part of things like, you know, broad-based black economic empowerment, to say, you know, as part of your scorecards, can you please, you know, we would like to see a policy implemented around payment terms for your small suppliers.
To help small suppliers.
But that's a developmental space that we need to get into.
Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, all on cash flow management for small businesses. Valuable advice, and we'll push this podcast. I think it can really help. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Adrian.
And next up, we've got our leadership masterclass with a master lesson, and our guest is the CEO of Alexander Forbes, the group CEO, Edward Kiesvetter. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. He's a student of leadership. We are. So you can expect some really good conversations all the way from 12 to 1. This conversation was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon, it's our business to grow your business.
Ivan Cleaners, Worcester. Conrad speaking.
Hi, Conrad. This is Chad from the Glen Gables Hotel in Worcester. We're looking for a new cleaning service. I found your number on the internet. Would you be interested?
Yeah, Flip, great. Where are your offices?
We're on the corner of Alaho and Aldo, across from the Beef Cack and Tag Shack.
Cack and what?
There's more than one Worcester out there. Reach a more relevant audience by advertising with the Yellow Pages. Visit yellowpages.co.za and get listed online with South Africa's most trusted business directory. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.